Welcome to the second part of this two-episode series with Alexandra Yi on the Youth Rise podcast. I'm your host, Queenie Gong, and in part two, Alexandra and I talk primarily about our personal experiences with dealing with procrastination, social media, and the negativity that social media brings regarding body image. Specifically, the latter topic is very important as many young individuals, especially young females, struggle with this issue, and it's still not a very outspoken one. We hope that our personal stories can reach other young individuals and inform them to strive for a more positive relationship with themselves. Hope you all enjoy. For you, how do you think you manage all the workload? Does that have a toll on your mental health for you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like knowing you have so much to get done is going to give you like an amount of stress no matter what. It's just sort of how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my time, I like to spend time with friends and family or go skating, even like for fun or skiing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a big problem with procrastination, so I don't think that's the best advice.
Okay, but I feel like it's important to get out. And like for skiing, skating, or spending time with your family, that's an obvious need. And then going outside, it takes your mind off of work and then gives your brain time to rest, and then you can come back and do your work more productively and probably faster.
Yeah.
And in the end, you always get your work done anyways. It just kind of takes a bit longer for some people. And I think right now a lot of it is because, like, I don't know if you personally have this, but for me, social media, like the addiction to be on your phone all constantly, and just like the different platforms, like shorts are very addicting, like TikTok is so addicting, and you kind of want to stay part of the trends or just stay in that social status where you know what's going on in the world. But then that also takes up a lot of your time
because
you just keep scrolling and you don't know when it's going to end. So yeah,
I think I realized that was like a big problem towards around like this time last year. I deleted TikTok, and then right after I deleted it, I would find myself going on my home screen looking to press the app where it was and find nothing there. And then it'd be like I had nothing to do. And then I realized I had like so much free time. But then slowly that free time turned to time on Instagram. So I don't know if that helped.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I feel like Instagram is overall, like, you get bored eventually on Instagram. But TikTok is kind of like you keep going and going and going. But Instagram, I kind of look into it and then I get bored and then I just leave the app and then go onto TikTok, which is bad. I should really delete the app.
Yeah. Also, Instagram has like the 10-minute warnings. I don't know if TikTok has that. Like Instagram, if you're scrolling for 10 minutes, like it'll, like your screen will go black and it'll have a message. It's like, you've been on Instagram for 10 minutes, consider taking a break and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I put for my Instagram at 4 or 5 p.m., I put do not disturb, and then I just don't get notifications from my friends. And then I kind of, then I feel kind of like no one's contacting me on the app, so I won't touch it or look on it.
Yeah, I used to have an app called Opal where it kind of like blocks your other app. So you can set an app group for it to block. So I had like games and stuff and social media blocked, and they could set like time. So I had every weekday from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. my apps would get locked and I wouldn't be able to open them. I found out that that did help a lot, but then I just get annoyed at it.
So it's like a screen time?
Yeah, pretty much, but externally. And then also, it, like, takes up a lot of your battery because it's, like, always on.
Mm-hmm. For me, one of my friends, their parents, like, restrict their screen time to only 3 minutes on all those social media apps, which is crazy that she's able to, like, not get mad or, like, annoyed at her parents for doing that. But I think that's really healthy to put yourself away from social media. And I kind of want to try, like, the challenges where it's like 24 hours or like 2 days without social media. But I also get scared because people contact me on those apps, and then it's important to stay, because what if it's an emergency, like in school or like family members, then I won't know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe they should change, like, no more messages on social media apps and only like iMessage. Maybe that will help students.
Yeah, honestly, like thinking about it, like I don't really get addicted to iMessage or anything. Because it's just, like, messaging. Or like,
maybe, like, Game Pigeon a little.
Game Pigeon a little bit, but it's, yeah, I feel like that's, like, manageable compared to, like, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're, like, onto something. If they just, like, isolate messages and then scrolling.
Yeah, that's so true. No more shorts. Shorts, like, I read this study and they were saying, like, if you watch a movie now, you're smart. You're considered smart compared to watching, like, TikTok or shorts because your attention span
it means your attention span is longer. Because people who watch shorts, like, I've realized it for myself, too. I'm, like, reading a passage for English, and I read, like, a few sentences, and I'm like, I can't read anymore. And that's so bad, because I used to be able to read books. When was the last time I touched a book?
Exactly.
Well, like, for now, I don't have time to even read books because of the workload, but when I was younger, I used to read, like, Percy Jackson or Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I used to find joy in reading. Like, it was like, procrastinating, but not social media. And once I got a phone, everything changed. I wish I was one of those students who got a phone right in grade 8 or even when they were older, because I have a friend who got her phone in grade 8 and she's like, she never procrastinates. And then she's so good at time management. She has no games. She has no social media. And it's a bit kind of like her parent restricting her. But she personally, I feel like she has such a healthy relationship with social media.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have it. I believe you can't have a healthy relationship with social media. You just have to not have it to have a healthy relationship with yourself.
The only people benefiting from social media is the influencers who use the views to get brand deals and stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's also unhealthy because younger people are looking at those influencers and seeing them as a role model, but it's also an unrealistic goal to have, especially for body standards for girls.
Yeah.
You see girls in bikinis and models and you're like, why am I not like her? For me, when I was 12 and I had social media and I saw those photos, I think that impacted me a lot of my mental health because for Asian parents as well, they have that tradition of just outright calling you fat or skinny.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, for example, you go to a family gathering and you see your auntie who you haven't saw in a few months and she'll tell you right away if you're fat or skinny. And then I'm like, and then because we grew up in the culture of in Canada, it's a different culture. So at school or with my friends, I don't have that experience. So when I actually had that experience with my family, it was surprising for me. Like, I didn't take it as a joke because I grew up in Canada. So I took it literally and I took it very personally. And I was like, what? And I got I would get upset and I would cry about my body. Aww. And I think that's something different, because if I did grow up in China, I think my mindset would be different. I would be for me, if I was in China and someone called me fat, I'll probably be like, okay, then I have to work harder to get skinny.
Yeah.
But then because I live in Canada, I never got that experience. So when I first got it, it was kind of heartbreaking for a 12-year-old to be called fat. So yeah.
I think it's culturally what your values are, and it's only dangerous when you start mixing the cultures, because as you said, in Chinese culture, being fat isn't necessarily an insult.
They don't think it's an insult. They just say it because they want to be honest.
Yeah, they're just honest and they care about you and they want you to be healthy. They're not saying it as they mean bad. Mm-hmm. But in Western culture, in North America, calling someone fat is almost an insult to them, or
it is
degradatory towards them. So it's when you come in with the mindset that getting called fat is bad, and then you have family members overseas who call you fat because they care for you, then it becomes very miscommunication, harmful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, an example of this was I was at a swim competition a few months ago, and I haven't seen my friend's mom in a very long time. So she's we call all our friends' moms aunties in Chinese culture. Yeah. So then I was like, hello, auntie. And then we talk a bit. It was in the washroom. We saw each other and we were washing our hands. And then before she leaves, she goes, you got a little fat. she said it in Chinese, but it directly translates you got a little chubby or something like that. And then for me, I already knew of this culture in China to just directly call someone fat if they did get fat, or directly call someone skinny if they got skinnier. And then, but in my mind, because I had a bad relationship with my body image and everything from a young age, then it kind of just stuck with me. And the whole time in the competition, I was just thinking about it. And then I got insecure with my body, because when you're in a swimming pool, you're basically your body is showing a lot, right? And then I got super insecure about myself. And then I think that just but then I kind of reminded myself not to worry too much, because she probably just meant no harm for me, obviously. But it kind of makes me upset still today if someone were to call me fat or skinny, I feel. It's just not very, why do you have to be so explicit about it?
Yeah, I have a different, similar but different experience for skating. As a figure skater, I think for a lot of athletes, there's the pressure to be the norm, which is skinny and stuff. Yeah. Especially for figure skating, because you're jumping, you gotta be aerodynamic. At the end of one competition, my coach was talking to my mom, or like while I was warming up, I don't know. But that night, my mom told me that my coach said, like, I quote, like, as a coach, I can't say this to her, but as a mother, you can. So you should tell her to lose some weight so she'll be a better jumper. I remember so upset at that. Like, I knew, like, that was kind of, like, the standard in figure skating. Like, I know mm-hmm. that's, like, expected. I just didn't think that I'd get that said to me. I was so upset, and I refused to, like, eat anything but granola bars. I got, like, really depressed for a little bit, for, like, a week. Then after I realized that it's kind of my body, and being healthy is the most important. Like, there's no point in being skinny if you're, like, if you're just always, like, tired and, like, sick and stuff. Like, being healthy is the most important.
Yeah, that's really true. When I was younger, too, like, during COVID, because everyone, like, stops doing any sports, right, because of the social thing, and then I gained weight, obviously, but I was in that part of my life where you're obviously gonna gain weight because you're growing, and I was 12 around that time, and I gained, like, 10 pounds, and my mom was surprised, and I was surprised, too, because I didn't understand your body was supposed to gain weight when you're younger, so I just thought I was gaining fat, and I was just becoming fat because I stopped swimming, right, and it's normal, obviously, so then because I have a pool in my house, and I pushed myself every single day to go swimming, no matter if it was raining, sunny. And it was also during that time where it was like April, May, and my parents don't heat up the pool. So it was freezing. I just would swim. And then I remember my mom would push me to go swimming. And then I had like a private swim coach. And then he was like, you have to lose weight if you want to continue swimming. And then I was like, okay, then I'll do it. And then I got into a really bad habit of like watching YouTube videos about like what I eat in a day, and then watching other people eat. And then also I started watching like K-pop idols, like their diets, because they have like those extreme diets where they don't eat anything, or they would just eat fruit or like yams or like oatmeal. And then I started to do that. I remember once I ate like 3 cucumbers a day, like a cucumber for a meal. For a day, which is terrible because cucumbers is just water. Yeah. It has like no calories or anything. And I was 12. And I remember my mom would be like kind of not encouraging, but she would just let me do whatever I wanted to. And I still remember before like lunch, I would skip rope like 1,000 skips and like sweat before I could eat lunch. And I remember that got into me like such a bad habit, and like eating habits were terrible. And eventually like nothing changed with my body because obviously, I'm going to grow, so I can't stop myself from growing. Yeah. It just made my mindset terrible. I remember I would cry, like, every single day, and I would write in my journal, like, I'm so sad, or, like, stuff like that. And it was, like, during COVID, so, like, I couldn't see anyone else, so I was just kind of, like, suffering by myself. Yeah. And I feel like that was so, that's, like, terrible for any child, too, because I know other people obviously go through that as well, since on social media, I feel like people have been starting to talk about this more, and like those like workout videos on YouTube have been like talked about, that they're not really good for like children to watch, because I used to also do those workout videos and just like be like so terrible. But like now I'm in like a healthier place, I think, and whenever I have those thoughts again, I just kind of like remember back onto like when I was 12. And I think like slowly my parents are also learning, because my mom used to just like outrightly call me fat, but then now she's kind of like realizing it's not too nice, and I kind of get upset when she does that.
Oh, at least she's learning. I think that's like a whole stigma around like child athletes, especially on sports such as like swimming or like figure skating or gymnastics and dance, where it's kind of like standard to be like really skinny.
It's understandable though, because obviously if I'm lighter, I will swim faster.
Yeah,
but I have to think about what I'm getting out of it. I'm getting a lot of unhappiness, and I'm getting depressed, and I'm also very young. I'm growing.
Yeah.
So I rather sacrifice my swimming times like than be unhappy, I think.
Yeah, I think like since children at that point, they're so young, they don't really understand. I think it's more important to like for them to realize like it's not worth like starving yourself and being unhappy and like permanently stunned, like damaging yourself.
Yeah, for that's that. True. And it's, like, long-lasting. It's forever. Because right now, I'm thinking about back then, if I didn't have that bad experience, where I would be now. And I feel like I wouldn't have, like, all these negative thoughts. Because it's always going to be there, I feel.
Yeah.
Because like, you're never going to not forget about it.
Like,
it's daily. You're eating every day. Yeah. So you always think about it.
Like, I remember seeing this thing on Instagram that was, like, once you learn calories, you can't unlearn it. And I think that's, like, so true.
So, like, I wish I never started counting calories.
Yeah.
And I feel like exercising too, you have to have like a positive mindset to it. You have to exercise because you want to stay healthy and you want it for your body, not because you want it for like the image that you'll get from exercising, if that makes sense. Yeah. You want it because you want to make your body healthy, not because you want to have that curve or that hourglass shape or like skinnier arms or skinnier legs. I think that's very important as well.
Yeah, I feel like in general, if you do something, you should be doing it because you love it, not because of what other people think of you. Like for exercising, you can't just, if you just want to exercise so people can look at you and be like, oh, she's so fit and stuff, then like you're never gonna get far. You're just gonna get tired after like a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like same thing for grades at school. If you want to try hard at school because other people can admire, like you can like boast your like A plus and stuff, like that's never gonna go for you. You're gonna just become burnt out. But if you like study hard because you want to learn more, or if you want to like better yourself, then like you're gonna be more motivated. Like that's like goal setting and stuff.
Yeah, so I think you have to look at everything with a positive mindset, especially because if you do have like those negative thoughts, it'll just make you very unhappy. Because for swimming, for me, at the end, like I just had no more motivation to keep going because of all the negative thoughts that I had around surrounding it, because it kind of started everything, right? So then I didn't want to keep swimming if it would make me so unhappy. And because I am going to graduate soon, like it's not going to take me far. So I might as well just stop and hopefully become happier than like keep going and doing something that I really don't want to do.
Yeah, like years of that, like years of resentment and stuff built up, that can like really take a toll on you. And after you like let it go, I guess it like, it's kind of like freeing, like freedom.
Yeah, your mind and your soul gets freed from that. Yeah, okay, so we just kind of dived really deep and then like kind of went a bit off topic from what we initially had, but it was great that we talked about something very important, and I think a lot of kids these days are struggling with it. And it's like an important topic because it has to be said, and it's worrisome sometimes to see kids starving themselves and just having those negative thoughts. So it's great that we talked about that and also about our personal experiences. So would you like to add any last words?
If there's like any kids out there watching this, like listening to this right now and like thinking about what we were saying before about like starving yourself and eating disorders and food, like it's not worth it. Like whatever you think you're gonna get out of it, it's only temporary, but the long-term consequences, where if you have like stomach problems or growth problems or even just like the mental aspect of it all, like just like looking at a plate of food and like feeling negative emotions for years and years and years, like that's not worth it over like one Instagram picture or something.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to realize. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing all of your amazing personal stories and the amazing advice that you have for other students as well.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.